Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. Who's here for the first time? You've never been here before. Just put up your hand. Welcome, 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 welcome. Amen. Well, it is nice to have you, and I trust that you're going to have a good time with us, and that God is going to bless you. Amen. How many of you know that God is real? How many of you know that God is real and busy in everybody's life? Maybe you don't think that God is busy in your life. Well, then you don't know God. The Bible says He never slumbers and He never sleeps. Amen? That means right now He's busy. But somebody else is also busy in your life. Who's that? It's the devil. You know, a lot of people don't like it when we talk about the devil. But I want to tell you something. You need to know who he is and you need to know how he operates. And I don't say these things to give him any glory. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know what, you shouldn't be preaching or talking about the devil because you are not called to give him glory. When you expose the works of the enemy, you don't give him glory. You remove his power from somebody's life. The Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want you to notice, it doesn't say from lack of prayer. It doesn't say from lack of attending church. It says from lack of knowledge. What knowledge is it that you need to know more of? Should you know what is the latest fashion on the Kardashian show? Is that going to do anything to change your life? No, it won't. Just talking about that, I'm starting to feel sick. Somebody catch me. Anyway, what knowledge is God talking about? God is talking about knowledge from His Word. There are a lot of things in the Word of God that we have to know. And, you know, here's one of the problems that we have with, let's call it Christians, believers. They, like, you know, children sometimes have selective hearing. When you tell them, here's a chocolate, they hear you. When you tell them, here's a toy, they hear you. When you tell them, let's go to the movies, they hear you. You tell them, let's clean your room, it's like, I didn't hear. Sorry, Dad, I didn't hear. Where's my kids? Are you listening? Anyway, and so some Christians have selective reading. You know what? If it looks nice and if it looks edifying and if it looks uplifting and if it talks about the grace of God and the mercy of God and the peace of God and love and hope and joy and prosperity, well, we want to know all about that. When it comes to the fact that there is a war going on in every Christian's life, oh no, we didn't sign up for this. I want to tell you something. There is no place in the kingdom of God for what we sometimes refer to as conscientious objectors. In other words, it's against my conscience, it's against my beliefs to fight. Look at your neighbor and say, you were called to fight. Yeah, you might not like that, but you were called to fight. You know, this ministry's name is Warriors for Christ. There's a reason why this ministry is called Warriors for Christ, because we spend most of our time fighting other people's chochos. And that's just an absolute truth. Everybody should be fighting their own chochos. What is a chocho? Well, it can have a couple of meanings. It can be that big cockroach that runs out from under your bed and then you jump on the bed and, like, you know, start performing. Or it can be that scaly dark thing that is following you, that makes your life miserable, that robs you and steals from you, that brings you fear, fright, terror, that makes you feel unworthy, that sucks the finance out of you, that brings sickness and infirmity and pain and torment and suffering. It's also a chocho. And you know what? The same thing works. What do you do when you see a big cockroach? You squash it. What did Jesus say you must do with the devil? I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. When you think of a demon, think of a cockroach and jump on the thing. That's what Jesus wants you to do. Amen. But then you also have to know and understand how these things work. You know, there is a scripture in the book of Corinthians, and it says that if we, the Bible says, if we are ignorant concerning the devil's schemes, he will gain the advantage over us. Do you hear what it says? If we are ignorant concerning the devil's schemes, he will gain the advantage over us. Can I tell you what one of the greatest, in a sense, triumphs is that Satan has achieved in the society and the age that we live in? He has managed to convince most of the known church that he is not a threat, thereby giving them only one other person to blame for all their problems, and that is God. You see, if the devil is not real, if he's not causing all these problems, if by definition, because you are a Christian, the devil can't touch you, then you have to blame God for all the suicide. You have to blame God for all the anguish. You have to blame God for all the fear. You have to blame God for all the problems. But that's unbiblical. Because God is not the thief. Satan is the thief. And we have to call a spade a spade. Yeah, there is somebody that wants to rob you of your peace, rob you of your hope, rob you of your joy, rob you of your life. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief. Who is the thief? It's not the guy that ran off with your cell phone. He's a thief. He works for the thief. The thief is known by a couple of names. He is known by the name Satan. He's known by the name the devil. He's known by the name the prince of darkness. He's known by the name Lucifer. And you can give him a whole bunch of other names as well. But the fact of the matter is, that is the thief. Now, Jesus warns us, the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let's ask an interesting question. Who does the thief want to steal from? Okay, let me help you to understand. In order for the thief to want to steal from you, you must first have something worth stealing. Okay, let's not talk about the thief. Let's talk about a thief. There's two houses on the block. The one is a shack. Inside of there is hardly anything. The other one is a three-story mansion. Which one does that thief want to go into and steal from? Well, he can waste his time going into the shack, but all he's going to get there is another cockroach. Probably that's not what he's looking for. So what is he going to do? He's going to make a plan to get into the three-story building because there's lots of nice things. There's a big flat-screen TV in there. There's a lot of jewelry in there. There's a lot of electronic things in there. Where does he want to go? Where there is something worth stealing. Now, let's look at it from the point of view of the thief, which is Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the prince of darkness. Who does he want to steal from? Well, you want to steal something you don't have. Am I correct? Does the devil have peace? Does the devil have joy? Does the devil have life? Who does? Children of God. Does the devil steal from his own? He doesn't have to steal from them because whatever they have belongs to him already. Why should the devil go and steal from the Satanist? If the Satanist already worshipped him and already gave their life over to him, their souls belong to him. You don't have to steal what already belongs to you. Hello? So you want to steal from something or someone that you do not have that control over. Now, who is that? Well, here's the shocking revelation that you should get. The person that the thief wants to steal from is the believer. Because the believer has something that the enemy doesn't have yet. The enemy doesn't have your soul. Can I tell you what happens when the thief steals a lot from the believer? When the thief steals a lot from the believer becomes negative, despondent, dejected, frustrated. Sometimes we enter into rebellion and we turn our back on God and it's like, but I can't serve a God like this because I've got no life. But God is not doing it. The thief is doing it. And it's time for us to put our foot down and tell the thief, you will no longer get away with this. God wants us to know. God wants us to understand how this thing works. We call it spiritual warfare. Last week I started with you and we looked at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm just going to go back to there quickly to show you a couple of other interesting things. I'm going to read to you from the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. And we're going to start from verse 3. For though we live in this world, For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. Let's stop right there. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Do you hear that the scripture there says that as a believer, we wage war? You see, some people would love for that scripture to simply say, we do not wage war. But that's not what it says. It says, even though we live in this world, we are involved in a war that is different from the way the world is involved in. Our war is just as real. In fact, our war is more real. You all saw the images of what happened in Afghanistan and what happened in Iraq and wherever. And you know what, some of us, we've watched the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. And we saw the images of the First World War and the Second World War. That's how the world wages war. The devil doesn't operate that way. It's too easy. He works behind the scenes. But he's just as effective and he's just as real. And I want to tell you something, the devil does not shoot blanks, my friend. He shoots the real deal. When he comes for you, you will know it. Your life begins to fall apart. Everything goes for a ball of you know what. It's problems, problems, problems. And something has to be done. Oh, but Rian, that's very unfair. I'm a child of God. I should be divinely protected. No, Jesus says, when the enemy comes rushing in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, but you are the one that wages the war. The Holy Spirit will empower you to gain victory, but if you do nothing, the devil will walk over you. In fact, I'm going to just keep the space and then I'm going to give you another scripture. Listen to this scripture. You've heard it before, many times. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. A couple of interesting things to think about here. The devil is scheming something right now. What do you think he schemes for your life is? How can I get them in the pit as quick as possible? How can I keep them in the pit for as long as possible? How can I make them turn their back on God? How can I make them doubt every scripture? How can I make them, etc., etc.? That's the devil's scheme. Right now he's busy with it in your life in some way. How can I bring division into the family? How can I bring doubt, confusion, and unbelief? How can I use gossip and slander and jealousy and envy to bring as much destruction as possible into their lives? That's the devil's scheme. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I want you to notice that it doesn't say that God will stand on your behalf. It says you must take your stand against the devil's schemes. And this is where a lot of Christians miss the boat completely. Because when the pawpaw hits the fan, they wait for God to rock up and deal with everything supernaturally. When God says, you deal with it, I'll back you up. Do you see the difference? And if we don't deal with it, God can't back us up. We need to be strong in the power of God, but we need to resist the devil so that he can flee from us. I want you to listen. You are the one that has to resist. You are the one that has to stand. Now, how do you stand against something that you do not understand? How do you stand against something that makes no sense to you? How do you stand against something that you don't even believe in? You know, the devil has worked very hard to convince the church that even though he might be real, he's no longer a threat, because apparently when Jesus died on the cross, he was completely conquered, he was completely destroyed, and he can't do nothing nowhere. There is a big problem with that thinking. It's unbiblical. Yet a lot of people believe that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, but you know what, why must I waste time on the devil? The devil was defeated on the cross. The devil might have been defeated by Christ, but has he been defeated by you? There is a difference here. In Jesus' victory, we can rise up against that same foe and we can also conquer him. But if you don't rise up in that same victory, the devil has not yet been defeated by you. The devil is not under every Christian's foot. There are a lot of Christians that are the devil's doormat. The devil is walking over them instead of them walking over the works of darkness. How do I know that? Well, you just look at their life and you see it. Their lives are falling apart. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible is called the gospel of the good news? In other words, when I preach the gospel tonight, I am giving you some good news. Do you agree with me? Well, it should be good news, but it's not good news if the devil can get away with murder. It's not good news if I can't say to you, you know what, the satanic affliction in your life can be conquered. You can rise above your depression. You can rise above your sickness and your affliction. You can rise above your limitations, your fears, your insecurities, your low self-esteem, the rejection that you feel from people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a one-way ticket to heaven. Some people treat it that way. Some people look at the gospel of Jesus Christ from this point of view. Down here, I'm going to have problems and issues and drama and whatever, and I just have to cope with it because that's just the way life is. But one day, everything is going to be better because I'll be in heaven and I'll be with God. That is not right. Because the benefits of the kingdom of God are not just available to those that have died. The benefits of the kingdom of God are available to you and me right here, right now, today. Healing is still available. Deliverance is still available. Victory is still available. In fact, the Bible says that on the cross, Jesus Christ became a curse for us, that we no longer have to live under the curse, but that we can receive the blessings of Abraham. Yet the church is full of cursed Christians. Their lives go nowhere. How many people have sat in the church 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but when you look at their life, they've gone nowhere? You want to tell me that was God's plan for them? I'm sorry, somebody's missing the boat somewhere, because that's not how God works. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future, a good future. Now here's the thing. All of that is real, but there's something in between. God's word says he wants to bless you. The devil says, over my dead body. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to put your foot on the stupid thing and kill him. Because he will try and make sure that you don't go forward. Am I giving you a negative message? No, I'm giving you hope. I'm telling you that whatever is standing against you right now can be conquered. Because Jesus already conquered the enemy, and the authority is available to us so that when we rise up in the power of Jesus' victory, we too can begin to conquer the works of darkness. And our life will begin to change. Amen? I'm going to give you an example from my own life. Many years ago, I came under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I fell down on the floor under the anointing. The power of God began to work through me. I felt these waves go through me. I spent 4 hours stuck to the floor. It was an amazing night. I still remember a lot of the things that happened and the experience that I had. It was powerful, and I actually felt that God was busy with me. It was beautiful. And my life changed from that day forward. But not everything changed. In fact, there were still a lot of things that needed a lot of help. I felt different. The world looked different. You know, it's like they say when you're in love, it's like you wear rose-colored glasses. Everything just looks better. You know, suddenly you hear the birds singing, tweet, 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 tweet. And, you know, suddenly you hear the bees buzzing and everything is just nice and wonderful. Well, I had an experience like that. Everything looked better. Everything felt better. My life, I had this, you know, in Afrikaans, I like a whip and my stop. It's like, I'm not walking. I'm like, nah, 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 you know, I'm like all happy. But I had one problem that didn't disappear. Who wants to guess what it was? I battled with fear. Now, here's the thing. I was anointed of the Holy Spirit. I was Spirit-filled. I was speaking in tongues. I experienced the power of God, but I still battled with fear. Call it an irrational fear. Call it whatever you want. But I had fear. I was afraid of just about everything. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of UFOs. I was afraid of vampires. I was afraid of werewolves. I was afraid of zombies. I was afraid of ghosts. I was afraid of demons. I was afraid of the devil. I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of my own shadow. How's that? But I was Spirit-filled. But that didn't disappear. And you know what? I couldn't understand why, after having such an amazing experience, I'm still battling with this fear. Surely it should be gone. No, it didn't go nowhere. In fact, do you want to know what happened? My fears got worse. How's that? I mean, Rion, that can't be right. Well, it is. It got worse. Because you see, before I was a limited threat to the devil. Now I'm a big threat to the devil. And the one way that he had to try and keep me out of running this race was to use my weakness against me. My weakness was fear. I have shared this before, but probably a lot of you haven't heard it. So I'm going to tell you where my fear comes from. There is a root of fear in my family bloodline, which already gave the devil some power. And we'll talk about that some other time. But one night when I was about 12 years old, I was watching television. It was a Saturday night. My father, God bless his soul, cannot watch television to save his soul, because 10 minutes, 15 minutes in, he's asleep. Now my mother is like all, she's in bed, happy with the knowledge that my father is making sure that we don't watch nonsense. My father is in La La Land, he's dreaming up a storm. My brother was quite young. My brother at that stage, I think he was 8 years old. And my brother, I want to tell you something, he was a very busy boy. My brother was always playing rugby. Trying to watch television in our house was almost impossible because my boot, his name is Pete. Pete was always scoring tries. Then he was scoring a try, yeah, then he was scoring a try there. Then he was kicking the ball. You're trying to watch TV, it's like tennis, you know, it's like, then he's here, then he's there. And he was very busy that night and he passed out early because he was so busy. God bless his soul. So it turns out I'm the only one sitting there watching television. I'm all chuffed because I'm watching TV alone. Big mistake. This movie comes on. Hey, very bad. But now I don't want to stop watching because it's interesting. Even though I'm scared, I'm like, but I'm watching, you know. And some of you might have seen this movie. It was called The Devil's Triangle. Did anybody else see that movie? You must come for prayer. You probably need it. I'm telling you now, you need prayer. So I'm watching that movie, and right at the end, it's clear throughout the movie that there's this demon that came onto the boat, and it was slowly killing everybody on the boat. And then you have this thing that this priest conquered the devil, and you're like, ah. And then this chopper rescues the priest, and as the priest goes and sits next to the pilot, his face changes into Satan. But the way they did it, probably today if I saw it, I would laugh because the special effects was probably not that good. But back then, being 12 years old, it's 12 o'clock at night. I'm telling you what, everything in me went, ah. And here's the interesting thing. I actually saw something jump out of the television into me. And I felt, boom, my whole body shook when it hit me. I was too young to understand what just happened to me. But a spirit of fear entered me through what I saw. Do you know that night, my mom eventually got up because my dad, once he passes out in front of the TV, that's it. He's there for life, you know. So my mom eventually got up and now I'm sitting there like all gestressed, too scared to go to bed. My mom gets up. She takes my brother, puts him in bed. She tells me to go to bed. When she switched off the light, I thought I was going to die. The fear that came over me was just mind-blowing. In a second, I was up and I switched the light on. Problem was, she hadn't gone far enough down the passage, so she saw the light go back on. She came in, she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Ma, I'm afraid." She said, "Oh, don't be stupid, go to bed." All right, She switches the light off. Now I'm lying there. I'm not lying there. I've got the covers over my head. I'm lying there. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is not good. No, I'm not going to survive this. I wait for my mother to be in the room. I heard their door close. I wake up my brother. It's 12:30 at night. Peter's sitting there on the bed. What's wrong with you? Now let's play cards. Oh, it's very late. It's fine. You're going to enjoy it. Come. I don't want to sleep. And I don't want the light to go off because I'm too afraid. So, yeah, I am. I'm 12 years old. My Buddha's 8 years old. Now we're playing. Every time he wants to fall asleep, I come up with something that's going to wake him up. I wake him up. There he sits again. Now we're playing. That was Saturday. Sunday night, I do exactly the same thing. Monday, he goes to school. He sleeps half the day. The teacher phones my mother. Your son is sleeping in class. My mother asks my brother, what's going on? My brother says, oh, I don't know, but Rian doesn't want to let me sleep. So guess what happened? I got a hiding. Man, I still need to give the devil payback for that. Anyway, here's the thing. I'm spirit-filled. I should be walking in victory, but I'm not. Because in that area of my life, I'm in severe bondage. And now, even though I have the Holy Spirit working in my life, my fears are getting worse and worse and worse. And this doesn't make sense. Because according to popular theology, I should be washed white as snow. No, I wasn't spirit-filled at 12 years old, but I was already spirit-filled now because of my experience when the Holy Ghost came into me. And as I said earlier on, instead of my fear disappearing, my fear got worse. And now I'm trying to make sense of this because it doesn't make sense. The people that I speak to is telling me that because of Jesus in my life is fine. The devil can't touch me. Nothing can come near me. I'm living a victorious life. No, I'm not. Because I'm still afraid. In fact, I'm more afraid and paranoid now than I ever been in my life. So now I begin to ask a couple of questions. How on earth is this possible? Then it went into overdrive. I used to have this thing come and sit on me in the middle of the night. I could actually feel like a presence come into my room, and then it comes and it sits on top of me. And then sometimes it used to choke me. Sometimes it used to feel like a jackhammer going off in my head, like ta 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 ta. And then I would hear this laughter, this ha 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 ha. And sometimes things were said that I'm not going to repeat now because it will cause some fear to children. But I mean, this is not normal. Come on, tell me whatever you want. This is not normal. I'm spending time reading the Bible. I'm praying to God. I'm prophesying. I'm speaking. I'm doing all these things, but I'm caught up in this fear. And you know what? God began to speak to me. The Holy Spirit began to show me that the Bible is full of accounts of people that had to be delivered from evil spirits. And he showed me that whenever Jesus sent out disciples to go and do the work of the kingdom, he first enabled them and empowered them to cast out evil spirits. And I began to ask the question, if it was necessary back then, who says it's not necessary now? Well, a lot of the churches say it's not necessary now, but that's not biblical. And then I began to ask the question, can a Christian have a demon? Which is a very unpopular question to ask, because you ask that question, people look at you like you're mad. No, this is impossible. No, man, don't be crazy. What are you smoking? No, I'm not smoking something. Something is sitting on my bed at night choking me. I hear these funny voices talk to me, but you're telling me that this can't happen, but it is. It took about 6 months for all these things to fall into place in my life. But I came to the place that I realized that the devil is real, demons are real, and I'm being afflicted by them. And whether people like it or not, I seem to definitely have a couple of these things in my life. One day I came to the point that I decided that if I can't find somebody to help me, then I'm going to trust God, and God's going to help me, and we're going to sort the problem. I was driving in the traffic. I had offices in Alberton. And as I'm driving in the traffic, I've got my notebook and I'm making some notes. I'm now going through what I understand should happen when you confront the devil, and I'm making notes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I have to forgive all of these people. I have to confess all of these sins. Okay, fine. I get to my office. I close the door. I anoint the office. I go sit behind my desk. I have my notepad there, and I start going through all of these steps. I've prayed everything. Now I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this spirit that is with me, that does this and this and this, and the spirit of fear, etc., etc. And something really strange happened. While I was saying that, the scream started coming from my mouth. Very high-pitched scream. I don't believe my vocal cords can even scream like that. And that was a really weird experience, because something is coming from me and my brain is not making it happen. It's like being in the Twilight Zone. And when the scream finished, my body gave like this funny shake. And then it was finished. And I sat there and I thought, oh my word. What just happened? But then I felt like a ton of bricks had come off me. And it actually felt like something that was around my head had actually been sucked or pulled off. Do you know, my ears could hear clearer. My eyes could see better. Yes, I still wear glasses, but I want to tell you something. Every color was more intense. It was like all my senses was suddenly released, like a turbo kicked in my whole being. Everything was different. I felt like a new person. Do you know how I knew that that thing was gone? I used to go out sometimes and actually pray with people. And when I used to come back, we lived in Mondial, and we lived in a dead-end street. And next to our house was a big open felt with this big koppie. And we had a manual gate. It was in the years when automatic gates were still far and in between. When you had an automatic gate back then, you were called Rockefeller. Okay, today everybody's got them. But back then it was manual. Yeah. So I used to have to stop now in this dead-end street with this big felt and the koppie and the grass going, you know, and the trees. And I tell you what, every time I got out the car, it was like... And then I would open the gate and run back to the car. Oh, I'm safe in the car. And I would drive the car in. Oh, man, I have to go close the gate. That night, I come back in the dark. Stop the car, open the gate, drive the car down, walk all the way up. And only when I went up to the gate the second time to close the gate, do I remember. I still remember. I stopped. I looked around and I actually thought to myself, something feels different. And then it hit me. No more fear. I don't have this, something is going to get me. That thing that used to whisper in my ear, it was gone. There was no UFOs up there. Praise God. The vampire that used to sit in the tree was gone. It was like, it was different. Okay, for you this might be a bit strange, but that was my life. That was my world. Everything was different. And it was amazing. For the first time since I could remember, I could actually stand outside in the darkness. I could look up at the sky. I could look at my surroundings and enjoy it. Instead of, oh my goodness, I better get into the house. I have to be safe. There was none of that. It was gone. Okay, what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you the following. I had to come to the place that I entered into the war and began to fight back. God wanted to teach me that until I don't begin to fight back, I cannot conquer. You know, we like to say in the church, oh, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that strengthens us, which is in a sense biblical, but you cannot be more than a conqueror if you don't come to a place in your life that you choose to conquer something. Until you don't start rising up against the works of darkness will walk over you every single time. And that was a wow moment in my life. Because I realized that day that everything the Bible says about the works of darkness and about how we should deal with it is true. And you know what? I'm not telling you this because I heard another person preach it. I'm telling you this because I lived it. I was delivered and set free, and it changed my life. I've had quite a few life-changing experiences, but that was one of the biggest, because through that, God sent me on the road that my life would ultimately go on. Because of what I experienced there, God has allowed me to help a lot of people. And I do believe God wants to help you too. But you have to open your mind and you have to open your heart. You know, a lot of us, we believe what some say. Don't believe what some say, believe what He says. Believe what God says, believe what the Word of God says. You know, I don't care how nice a person your pastor or your dominie or your priest or your preacher or your whatever is. If they do not follow or adhere to the truth as set out in the Word of God, they are teaching you error. It is only the truth, the Word of God, the truth that will set you free. Believing lies keeps you in bondage. Believing the truth sets you free. I had to go through a very complicated and difficult process to learn that what I had been taught up to there was wrong. But the Word had the truth. And when I started applying the Word, I began to see the changes. I began to see the difference. Is God a respecter of man? No, He is not. So what He did for me, God will do for you. Amen? God will do for you. Let's look at the scripture again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now listen to the following scripture. I'm going to read you from verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Ooh, how's that? You want more proof? There it is. Okay, what is flesh and blood? Just touch the person next to you. Don't touch in funny places. You're in the church. That's flesh and blood. Your struggle is not against, the King James Version says, for our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Again, the word warfare. Now, if your struggle or your warfare is not against flesh and blood, then what is it against? It's against spiritual beings. It's against something out there that will do anything in their power to make sure that your life is a failure. They want you to be a failure. They want you to be down in that pit. They want your life full of problems and issues and drama and you know, nonsense. Ultimately, they want you to curse God because of all your problems. They want you to turn your back on God. They want you to stop running the race. They want you to say, you know, this Christianity is a load of nonsense. It's not working for me. And it would be sad if the enemy pushes you to that point because it's not necessary. If you begin to apply the Word of God properly, you will stand in victory. The problem is, we hear scriptures like this, and we have this thing, it's all something, it's like spiritual, you know, it's like, it's got other meanings. That's not what the Bible really means. It's got like some ulterior meaning. No, that's exactly what it means. We are involved in a war. It's not against flesh and blood. In fact, the New Living Translation says that our warfare is not against persons with bodies, which is exactly what spirits are. It's a person without a body. And then it goes on, it says the following. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against, listen to this, what are we struggling against? What are we warring against? He says to us, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He gives us four different categories of Satan's kingdom. But he's telling us, your warfare is against spiritual beings. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to understand how to conduct ourselves in this war, stop letting the devil get away with murder, put our foot down, use our authority, and gain victory. Amen? And if you have the knowledge, if you have the understanding, it's actually not that difficult. Because it's all in the Bible. It just doesn't always make sense to us. Therefore, we like, skip it. No, it's necessary. If it's in the Word of God, it's necessary for good, healthy living. You can't just I choose that scripture, but this doesn't make sense, this doesn't make sense. Oh, that could never be. Oh, God will never allow that. Well, if it's in the Bible, He's allowing it. That's why it's there. And it's still relevant, and you still need it. And when you honor God and you take His word and apply it, you will have victory. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, it says, Today, 28, today, when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. But it says in verse 16 or 15, it says, today, when you hear my voice, if you do not obey me, I will curse you. There's a lot of people sitting in the church that's under a curse because they will not obey the word of God. Because it doesn't make sense to them, so it's a bunch of rubbish, so we're not going to do nothing about it. Well, you are cursed by definition because the devil will have all power in your life if you cannot come to the place that you live in victory over him. How did my life change after that encounter? Man, it changed radically. It changed radically because now that I understood the truth and applied the truth in my own life, it became easy for me to apply that same truth to other people's lives. And I began to see more and more and more people be delivered and set free from demons and evil spirits. I began to see that demons and evil spirits cause a lot of the problems that we accept as normal. I'll give you an example, sickness. Everybody gets sick, right? But when is sickness not sickness? When it's a demon. Do demons cause sickness? Yes, they do. In fact, it's a favorite, what can I call it? Say again? Affliction of them. Thank you. Because we all expect to get sick. And I'm not talking about the common cold, all right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things like migraines, arthritis, cancer, epilepsy. I can give you lists and lists and lists. Heart problems. I think I shared a while ago. I'm going to share it again. A family comes to see me. Actually, I went to pray for somebody had tried to do deliverance on this family. They didn't know what they were doing. They went and stirred up a hornet's nest, and the demon in the boy actually half destroyed the whole house. By the time I got there, everybody was like, it was like a scene from the Bible when the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast a demon out of somebody. It turned on them and it overpowered them and beat them senseless. The same thing happened in this house. People tried to mess with stuff they don't understand, and they got a big hiding. When I got there, this boy, when I say boy, he wasn't a boy, he was about 21 or 22 years old, he was a man. He was sitting on this chair, and the spirit was laughing out of him, challenging them, where's your God? You got no power, you're a bunch of idiots, you know, was going on something like that. And when I walked into the room, I said, I take authority over you, shut up in Jesus' name, and come out of him. The thing looked at me, and he said, I will not leave. I have been with this family for so long, I'm going nowhere. I said, well, that's debatable, but I believe that God is going to make you leave. And guess what? He did leave. It was a bit of a fight to get him out, but he did leave. Now, after that happened to the son went home and told the father and the mother and the brother and the sister and the other sister and everybody what happened, and they were all freaked out by this because they also used to believe that being children of God, the devil can't touch them. But now this happened to their son, and they saw what happened to the house where he was prayed over, and how everybody was like sorted out by him, and they were freaked out. So they all came to see me. I explained how this stuff works. And I said to them, if this type of spirit is with the son, it's probably in the family. Oh, they were all very stressed to hear that. But based on what they'd seen with the son, even though they were stressed to hear that, they were like, oh, we don't want this anymore. Please, how can we get rid of it? I said, easy. We're going to apply the word of God. So we prayed. When I started praying, the father immediately started having a heart attack. He went purple in his face. It came out later that he was in a family where I think there were 7 brothers and there was only 2 left. The other 5 had already died of heart attacks, all before 50. That spirit was trying to kill him in my lounge. I prayed like I never prayed before. I thought, oh my goodness, this can't be happening. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You pray. I rebuked that demon. It came out of him. It left him. Do you know that later that year, he went to donate blood. And you have to give your history and blah, blah, blah. And they came to him and they said to him, we need the doctor to examine you. The doctor examined him. They said, but you've got this and this and this history. He said, yes. The doctor said, well, I can't pick it up. He went for tests. There was no sign. He'd already had 3 or 4 massive heart attacks. There wasn't even a sign that he'd ever had a heart attack. His heart was as healthy as an ox. In fact, he's 20 years later, he's still alive. Where did that come from? It was a demon. It wasn't a heart attack. It was a spirit who had his filthy claws into his heart and he was squeezing and doing whatever he was doing. But it came out. Amen. It left. The mother had a serious problem with eczema. She could not wash dishes. She had to wear gloves. Whenever she did not wear gloves, her skin would actually begin to come off her hands completely. She had a really bad problem with eczema. I prayed with her. Her hands started going mad. I knew this is not a normal problem. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Guess what? It left. Why? It was a spirit. Demons like to steal from us, but they sometimes use the type of things that we, to some extent, say, oh, well, you know what, everybody has some problem somewhere. That's just the way it is. Well, in their case, it wasn't the way it was. And many people that we've prayed for, it's not the way it is. Remember, something, Satan is a liar. John 8 verse 44 says, Satan is a liar and he is the father of lies. And sometimes the enemy simply lies to us, and because we don't know the truth, we accept the lie. I have seen many, many spirits of epilepsy come out of people. Many times when we pray for people, the moment we begin to pray, the person has an epileptic fit. That's not normal. How does prayer give somebody a fit? It does when there's a spirit in there and he doesn't like the fact that you're praying for the person. He wants you to stop. But it must come out. And they do come out. Amen? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is flesh and this is blood. My struggle is not against them. My struggle is not against them. There's something that the enemy uses to come against all of us. Nobody is safe, but everybody can conquer it. If we begin to understand how the word of God applies to our life, God's word is practical. I have good news for you. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven one day to get rid of the issues in your life. You can deal with them today. You can start conquering your weakness today if you begin to understand how these things work and if you are willing to take God's word and apply it in your life. I hope somebody learned something tonight. If you did, please give the Lord a big hand.